COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Well, wake up, everybody. Welcome to The Rebellion. Welcome to Redacted. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. But what if the mainstream media are in collusion to silence conservative voices? That's exactly what's happening. You wondered about what this October surprise was going to look like. Well, here we are. A massive collaboration now between mainstream media outlets and the deep state and the White House, frankly, to silence conservative voices and to remove content from major platforms all 7 days before this election. We're going to show you the text messages that Tucker Carlson received last night from a reporter at the New York Times and a follow-up today on this bombshell story. It's freaking crazy, guys. So 7 days, here we go.
Plus, we're going to talk about the revelation that the UK government has charged the boy who stabbed young girls at a dance club with terrorism, which inspired all the riots for people saying, we want to talk about open borders. They were pontificating that he might be a terrorist. The government said, no, you're extremist, but he's a terrorist. So this gaslighting by the UK government is par for the course because it's dystopic there. We're also going to talk about the Daniel Penny trial because we have on our hands possibly another race-related case about violence, white-on-black violence, what this trial says. It's a mess. We need to still pay attention to that in the run-up to the election.
And perhaps a good Samaritan standing up to protect other people, right? I mean, all of this is going to come to play here. So good to see all of you guys on this Tuesday, 7 days until Election Day. We've got a lot of news to get to today. So let us know where you're joining us from, please. And thank you for subscribing on, whether it's on Rumble, on YouTube, on X, all of these platforms, because we need to be as many places as possible because they are coming after us. They are coming after, I guess you would consider us conservative. I mean, our show, we seek the truth. Uh-huh. We're not afraid to call out BS. I think the Republican Party is corrupt, just like the Democratic Party. But conservative, I guess, voices are being attacked, which is what we're going to talk about today.
Well, independent voices as well. Look at Joe Rogan. He wouldn't call himself a Republican by any stretch.
No.
we are nonpartisan completely. Neither of us are a member of either party. And we are absolutely, our main tenet is anti-war. Full stop.
Yeah.
I think people struggle to put us in boxes that make them more comfortable. And it doesn't work that way. That's just not how this show goes.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so yeah. Sylvia, good to see you. Greetings from Oklahoma. Gene Odom became a rebel. Good to see you. All right, let's get to your redacted news roundup, the news you won't see in other places. All right, well, if you've been wondering what an October surprise might look like, well, this morning we got our clearest sign yet of a coordinated effort by the mainstream media to silence conservative voices across YouTube and social media platforms. Of course, we saw this coming. We've been talking about this for months here on the show, that in fact, these big tech platforms were going to do massive censorship ahead of the election. I'm surprised that they're going to do it in earnest just 7 days before the election, but I think they realize what a dumpster fire everything is right now.
Well, recall what happened, though, in 2016 when the media went all mea culpa, saying it was our fault that Trump got elected because we gave him such a big platform. They went full force against him in 2020. They're doing this again because they think that they can make or break people and that it's their responsibility to take down any voices that may be against the Democratic Party. There's no simpler way to see it.
So
it's full on egotism.
Yeah, right. They think that they're the arbiters of truth. They need to protect us all.
Right.
They need to protect us all, like they did from the Hunter Biden laptop story. They protected us there, didn't they? They also protected us from the Russiagate hoax, right? Sure, they did. In fact, they perpetrated it. So Tucker Carlson last night received this text message. I'll show you all three screenshots in a second, but this was Tucker posted this on X. A few hours ago, after he received a text message from a reporter at the New York Times. Now, I want to go through these text messages. I'm going to read them verbatim for you. Let me put on my spectacles. Good day, Mr. Carlson. I hope you're well. I'm Nico Grant, a reporter at the New York Times. I wanted to give you an opportunity to comment for an upcoming article that takes a look at how political commentators have discussed the upcoming election on YouTube. We rely on analysis conducted by researchers at Media Matters for America. I love that they rely on analysis.
You don't do it yourself, New York Times?
No, they rely on the liberal-backed David Brock. Media Matters for America, as Glenn Greenwald has pointed out, one of the most corrupt organizations in all of media. But you're going to rely on them to get your analysis.
That's not reporting. That's parroting.
So you're going to get your liberal researchers and Media Matters to do your work for you. Could you kindly provide us with a comment or decline to comment by the end of the day tomorrow, Tuesday, October 29th? Thanks so much for your time. By the way, whose schedule, you reach out to him like he has to respond to you?
By your deadline?
Who the F do you think you are? The New York Times, one of the most corrupt publications in the world, the mouthpiece for the deep state of the United States, an FBI whistleblower who told me when they want to leak stories, you go to the New York Times because they are as corrupt as they come. So who are you to make demands on Tucker's time? You have until the end of the day tomorrow to give me a response. Middle finger to you. Go suck it. Here are the points we plan to include, the New York Times writes. Media Matters identified 286 YouTube videos between May and August that contain election misinformation, including narratives that have been debunked or are not supported with credible evidence. Researchers identified videos posted by you in those 4 months that contain election misinformation. Now, we feature a clip of you saying, quote, all the sadness we've seen after the clearly blank election, all these bad things happen, but people I know love each other more. I also have a few questions. Number one, are you a member of the YouTube Partner Program? Number two, if so, how frequently does YouTube demonetize your videos? Number three, has YouTube sent you messages, emails, or notices in the last year that your content contains misinformation? Thanks for your time.
So you see what they're doing here is they're angling to frame YouTube for things they don't like.
Right. Angling how?
Does YouTube ever tell you that your videos contain misinformation so that not only will Tucker Carlson's content be maligned, but also YouTube for allowing him to have a free voice, which he said when he went on X saying, you know, I'm going to speak only in the places that allow me to speak. And if they don't, then I will leave. And so they're setting up another hit on YouTube for hosting this content. And then what will YouTube do? We've seen it in the wake of COVID, the war in Ukraine, et cetera.
YouTube will be saying, oh, well, we have no choice. I mean, the New York Times published this piece. We have to come to the defense of free, you know, we have to protect democracy. Go ahead, Philip. Sorry.
Well, now that the government's kind of been pushed out of the role of getting to directly act with the social media companies, this is how they have to go around it. This is the pressure. This is the CIA coming in and telling the CEO of YouTube, you need to do what we want. But they can't, if they can't do it directly, now they have the New York Times do it for them.
To work in there as their arm.
So well, how did Tucker...
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Really quick, I just have a quick question. How in the heck did they get Tucker's cell phone number? Like, is that just in a database there?
Who knows? Like, I mean, and he's not the only one, which you'll see in a second. Who knows how they got it?
Well, we know that Tucker was spied on by the NSA as he was setting up an interview with Putin. So the government could have just as easily passed this along through indirect channels.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we know that the New York Times is a mouthpiece of the CIA and the deep state. And all they have to do at the New York Times is just call up their sources at the NSA and say, hey, I just need a little help here. I need Tucker's phone number. Nevertheless, how did Tucker respond? It's classic Tucker. So he says, you know, thanks for your time. And so Tucker responds, so the New York Times is working with a left-wing hate group to silence critics of the Democratic Party? Please ask yourself why you're participating in it. This is why you got into journalism. It's shameful. I hope you're filled with guilt and self-loathing for sending me a text like this. Please quote me. And the guy responds, Nico responds, thank you for your prompt response. Would you like to address any of the above points, points or questions above? And Tucker responds, would I like to participate in your attempt to censor me? No thanks. But I do hope you'll quote what I wrote above and also note that I told you to fuck off, which I'm now doing. Thanks. Oh, golf clap.
Yeah.
So I reached out to Tucker this morning about this, and he said he's just trying to keep himself amused at this point because these people are evil. That's what he told me. And I think these people are demonic, honestly. I think that
his text betrays a confidence that he does not have, this Nico, because you have to think that he's a peon who's doing the bidding of the U.S. government, thinking that he's doing right, probably because he's too young to know the difference, but also peeing his pants.
Oh, yeah. So this guy is peeing his pants because he then locked his Twitter account down because the backlash was swift and immediate. Here is Nico Grant now locking down his Twitter posts. These posts are protected. You can't see them anymore at the New York Times. You're a New York Times reporter and we can't see your tweets unless you've approved us to see them?
Yeah. He looks quite young.
Oh, I know. And actually, a lot of people saying he's clearly young, and hopefully you'll, you know, do an about face. Like, this will be a moment in your life where you'll realize, like, hey, I really screwed up here. I was doing the bidding of the deep state and these communists.
Well, somebody put him up to this.
Of course.
That was, yeah. And you're kind of hanging this kid out to dry a little bit.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Who's going to text Tucker? Oh, I know. Let Nico do it. Yeah, Nico will text anybody.
Right.
Let Nico do it. He's a tech reporter at the New York Times, and he's a tech reporter that covers YouTube and Google. That's his beat. Like, that's what he does.
And Tucker does him a kindness by saving his number under his name so that we can't see it, because I can only imagine this guy would have changed his phone number by now.
Oh,
from
yeah.
The responses he would have got.
So Ben Shapiro, also, and a number of conservatives were also hit by this. Ben Shapiro had this. He says, if you were wondering what the legacy media would plan for its October surprise, wonder no longer. It is here. Today, I received the following text from a reporter at the New York Times and literally asks the same things, almost verbatim. Save like a clip that he mentions of his specificity for Ben Shapiro. So Ben Shapiro responds, what precisely is the New York Times doing? It's perfectly obvious. It's using research from Media Matters, which is a radical left-wing organization whose sole purpose is destroying conservative media, in order to pressure YouTube to demonetize and penalize any and all conservatives 1 week from the election. Ben Shapiro then writes, that's the entire game here. Run an article in America's, quote, most trusted newspaper that declares pretty much every major conservative a purveyor of misinformation on YouTube, thus strong-arming YouTube into taking action against conservatives. Then he says, this is totally scandalous. In 2020, the legacy media shut down dissemination of the Hunter Biden laptop story and laundered the claim that it was all Russian disinformation, all to get Joe Biden elected. Then he says, in 2024, they're even more brazen. They're openly trying to intimidate YouTube, one of the most dominant news platforms in America, into shutting down anyone who isn't pro-Kamala. He's right. Zero Hedge even getting in on this today, one of the largest and most read websites in the world. Zero Hedge tweeted this. It's not just the New York Times and Media Matters. NewsGuard has also been mobilized. The entire censorship industrial complex is in full-blown meltdown over the disaster of Kamala Harris right now. I added that part, but that's why they're in a meltdown mode right now. So NewsGuard, New York Times, Media Matters, this is your October surprise, the massive media silencing of conservative voices. And we saw it yesterday on YouTube. If you did a search for Trump Rogan full podcast interview, it doesn't matter. Here, I did it just before the show, just to show you again. Trump Rogan, search. Nothing. News at the top. There's a clip from The Rising. There's a ABC News reaction. Watch Mojo's reaction. 12-minute clip. 15-minute clip here. Another 15-minute clip. 20-minute clip. Not the three-hour interview. Here's a 6-minute clip. Here's Megyn Kelly's response. Oh, and then people also watch these other choices. So we're done giving you search results. Here's some other things we think you'd like to watch, like this. Mark Cuban on why he dumped Trump. Why do you think when I type in Trump Rogan, I want to see a freaking interview with Mark Cuban on CNN about why he's now supporting Kamala Harris? Oh, continue scrolling all the way down. You can see it. Keep going all the way down. No interview. The Rising's response, all these companies, ABC News's, Fox News's response, shorts, and then clips from like a year ago. Oh, there's Trump on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air from the 1990s. That's relevant. Here's Bill O'Reilly and I mean, Jon Stewart. That's relevant. Here's Saturday Night Live. That's relevant. So do any search you want. Unless you specifically go to Trump Rogan's page, you won't be able to find it. So what did Joe Rogan do? He posted it on X. This morning or overnight, I think. And now at this point, as of 10:21 p.m. last night, had 5 million views in just like a short amount of time. He says, since there's an issue with searching for this episode on YouTube, here's the full podcast with Trump. There you go. So this all happened at the same time within like a 24-hour period, the mobilization of the media and the attempt to silence these conservative voices. So here we go, folks.
They just don't understand why their attempts to promote the Democratic Party and thereby themselves and their own self-interest is not working. The polls are showing them that their influence is waning and they're just so confused.
Yeah,
it's very
shocked.
Confusing.
Yep, well, we got more news.
Wielded too. Such power in a bad way.
True. We got more news in our roundup.
Yes, we do. Okay. Well, the censorship industrial complex in the United States has a new face, the face of warmonger Victoria Nuland, who we like to call Dolores Umbridge here, pushing the same old Russia, Russia, Russia story. Now, a few weeks ago, Nuland joined the National Endowment for Democracy. We've talked about this organization ad nauseum. They fund research through the CIA to whatever their own means are about Ukraine, censorship, what they call right-wing media, which is basically anti-government. Anything they don't like, they put into some bullshit kind of reports that they funnel from the CIA and they tell you, and then they try and get publications to take this information down. She's a demon. Why would they hire her? Well, Mike Benz explains this. He's a former State Department and also a cybersecurity expert. He says, Victoria Nuland is now the CIA's number one cutout. The organization I keep warning you about, the prime mover in the censorship industry, the National Endowment for Democracy. So again, we've talked about this. We fund them through our tax dollars. Then they commission research, and that research shows you what they think is misinformation, which ends up being true. Things about the Ukraine war, things like that, that have panned out. And then again, we fund this, and now she is one of those heads of the NED. So, okay. Now MSNBC is giving her a platform to push her censorship plan and push the false narrative once again. Russia interfering with our election because we didn't get riled up about that enough the first two times. Here she is on Rachel Maddow. And again, this tea's cold, but they still want you to drink it.
Third election in a row in which Russia has tried to interfere to try to get Trump into the White House. How do you assess the magnitude and the type of interference they're attempting this year compared to what they've done in his previous two elections?
Well, as you said earlier, Rachel, he's at it again. This time he's not even trying to hide his hand, and he has far more sophisticated tools. You know, his AI is better, so he can make these fake videos. He has done things like spend $10 million trying to buy American influencers and get them parroting his lines and not even know it's happening. But he's also got a brand new, very, very powerful tool, which is Elon Musk and X. You know, in 2020, the social media companies worked hard with the U.S. government to try to do content moderation to try to catch this stuff as it was happening. But this time, we have Elon Musk talking directly to the Kremlin and ensuring that every time the Russians put out something like this, it gets 5 million views on X before anybody can catch it. So it's quite dangerous. Although I do think the American electorate has gotten more sophisticated and more savvy about this stuff.
Oh my God, she's a Death Eater. Okay, let me just remind you that in 2020, when she says tech companies worked with the U.S. government, no, the U.S. government demanded censorship out of Twitter, when it was Twitter at the time, and Twitter said, we cannot find any proof of Russian influence, and fake Russian accounts influencing the election. So Democrats went after them and said, oh, we're going to make you pay for not giving us what we told you to find inside your own platform. So that's what she's referring to. And they've just, I mean, they're laughing at themselves as if like, huh, I told you we had no proof, but we're going to say this again. So, okay, I honestly cannot believe that this is allowed on television. They are Death Eaters.
And promoting it actively.
Yeah.
I love Elon's response to this. He says, you can see evil oozing out of Newland.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
The comments are great on this, but I also just... I effing can't stand it.
I love that she's, you know, Putin is literally there using AI. Like, Putin's like there, like with his AI tools, like influencing our elections, sending out deep fakes.
We read the investigations the first two times. I fell for this. I sat in your hot tub of lies. And so now you're going to have to give me better proof than just your evil giggle. Can't stand it. Okay.
Can't stand you. Speaking of Putin, let's talk about NATO's war in Ukraine. Russia overnight announced major victories in the People's Republic of Donetsk, capturing three key areas there. Remember, Donetsk, of course, was attacked as part of the Donbas for 9 straight years by Ukraine. Victoria Nuland helped fund and carry out, the evil witch. Under control of their CIA handlers, they carried out a genocide in the Donbas. They don't want you to know that. They want you to think that this was Putin's unprovoked war that started, you know, when it did, in February or so. For 9 years, they carried out a genocide, slaughtering these ethnic Russians in this particular area. And this morning, so they've captured a bunch of key areas now. This is, of course, huge setback for Ukraine. And this morning, Putin launched nuclear exercises. The drills involve ballistic cruise missile launchers, according to the Russian president, across the entire country, submarines, Air Force bombers, and new state-of-the-art nuclear launchers conducted drills. Watch. Yeah, so we want to mess with that, right? The world's largest nuclear arsenal running new state-of-the-art nuclear test drills. So NATO, keep going with your provocations here, like you're trying to do in Georgia and Moldova and, of course, other spots. Putin this morning said, quote, given the growth of geopolitical tensions as well as the emergence of the new external threats and risks, it's important to have a modern strategic forces that are constantly ready for combat use. There you go.
Well, Germany is collapsing thanks to the war in Ukraine. We've been watching this happen slowly and painfully for over 2 years. The German economy is officially in a recession and about to get much worse. Volkswagen is planning mass layoffs, plant closures. Yesterday, Volkswagen auto workers in Germany left their jobs for an hour to protest a major restructuring announced by their employer. The new plan includes closing 3 German plants and mass layoffs for its workforce of about 300,000 people.
These are the cars with the actual VW print on the front, not the whole group. What they're actually intending to do about it, what sort of cost-cutting measures they are going to roll out. And, John, they are absolutely huge. We're talking about cost savings of about 4 billion euros. We're talking about blanket cuts of pay of workers at Volkswagen by 10% across the board. We're also talking about the closing of 3 factories. That is what they plan to do at the management level. This is a company that has never in its history once closed a factory in Europe.
Okay. Now, just this week, let's keep on this. He mentioned at least 3 manufacturing plants will be closed. The remaining plants will be downsized. Whoever does get to keep their job after these massive layoffs must accept a 10% reduction in salary and all end of their bonuses. Now, just this week, when it was announced that the German economy did not grow the 0.2% that it was expected, the German finance minister, Christian Lindner, said, well, at the moment, we're just not as successful as we should be and we used to be in the European Union, as if it's the fault of the German people. Like, oh, they're just lazy. They're not working. It's their fault. Well, whose fault is it that they took away affordable energy, that they sent all their euros abroad for Ukraine, that they were dragged into a war they never should have, that they accepted mass migration from other places, not just Africa, but also Ukraine? Whose fault is that? Oh, yes, but those lazy Germans, they're just sitting around. It's Oktoberfest, right? Germany is Europe's largest economy, and economists say this will drag down the rest of Europe. So what exactly is happening? Well, again, sanctions against Russia. expensive energy. It's a government-created crisis, and their people are suffering. Tomorrow, we're going to have Ralph Schollheimer on the show to talk about this. You know, those lazy Germans, they just don't want to work. It's their fault.
Yeah, and that has nothing to do with the United States blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline at all. And now Germany is now purchasing natural gas from the United States and India at twice the cost that they used to be able to get it from Russia after we blew up their pipeline. Just a minor caveat here.
Yeah, we're just not as successful, he's saying. Like, it's a cultural problem. We forgot how to be successful here in Germany.
Well, get ready for another color revolution, this time carried out by the United States. The United States is great at these color revolutions where we don't agree with how your people vote. So we go in and then we foment a coup and we throw your country into chaos until we get the way that we want. The U.S. is meddling in the country of Georgia's election now, threatening the former Soviet country with severe consequences if they don't overturn this weekend's election, basically. Yeah, a little pipsqueak dipshit Matthew Miller from the U.S. State Department threatened the government of Georgia to submit to the United States or face consequences. Listen.
We have consistently urged the Georgian government this year to walk back its anti-democratic actions and return to its Euro-Atlantic path. We do not rule out further consequences if the Georgian government's direction does not change. We want to see the process investigated. We've noted the irregularities and the calls from local and international officials to see a full investigation, and we join those calls.
Does that mean that you take issue with the results?
We don't have a final assessment on the results now. We want to see
as they have been characterized.
We want to see an investigation
by various people. We want to see non-Georgians.
We want to see an investigation take.
All right.
Who's going to investigate ours?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Get the Biden administration.
Can we trade Georgia? You send some people here, we'll send some people there. Right. Can we do a swapsies?
Oh. Yeah, get the U.S. State Department to do. Go ahead, Phil.
That's such a dick move. It's like, that's like me like getting all pissed off because somebody four houses down to cook something for dinner that I don't agree with. Like, why am I getting involved in that? I don't have to eat it. It's not this. We are not Georgia. We have a Georgia. Yeah. Maybe he's confused. Maybe he thinks it's the state of Georgia.
Because that house that's four houses down from you is right next door neighbors to Russia, which can be used as a proxy in order to carry out further provocations from NATO against its neighbor. Yes. That's why that house four houses down is a concern to the United States. So how dare you vote for your own self-interest? We will come in and we want to do our own investigation. You don't want to hate Russia and attack Russia? Oh, you need to vote differently then, you people of Georgia. How dare you? Dragonfire says it great on X. He says, what right does the U.S. have to dictate to other countries? Georgia had a fair election, but the U.S. is trying to overturn it. Why? They want the country of Georgia to attack Russia. The people of Georgia don't want war. This is exactly what the U.S. did in Ukraine in 2014. Stay strong, Georgia. Hungarian leader Viktor Orban was showing his support for Georgia. He flew into Georgia and people are pissed. I mean, the EU is pissed. NATO is pissed. How dare you go show your support for Georgia? And he did. And he basically told the United States to go pound sand, did the Hungarian leader, Viktor Orban. So the EU, the U.S. got really angry at Georgia earlier this year also when their parliament outlawed LGBTQ+ propaganda aimed at children. This was a specific thing that the Georgian government did to protect minors in Georgia. How dare you defend children from dangerous transgender sex change agenda, said the United States government. We're pissed about that. The Biden State Department. Georgia also approved laws that allowed NGOs to be labeled foreign agents. Imagine that. You mean non-governmental organizations that peddle influence should be labeled as foreign agents? What a novel idea. Imagine if AIPAC, the Israel lobby in the United States was labeled that way as a foreign agent, right? And that would keep Israel out of the pockets of every American politician except for Congressman Thomas Massey. So that's how this works. They didn't like that. Oh, you mean we can't peddle influence and throw money into your election cycle? The United States can't throw money, illegal money, through non-governmental organizations, like through USAID? Yes, Samantha Power, sorry. You're a foreign agent, and you can't influence our elections, so that's why the United States is pissed off. David Hockley says this. This is insane. The people of Georgia have a right to self-determination, and they decided they didn't want the EU or NATO. Georgia should consider a defense pact with BRICS and Russia to ensure they can defend themselves against any external pressure and aggression.
Now, a lot of international investors enjoy investing in Georgia because it's a strong economy right now,
right?
Because it's a sovereign nation right now, because it's a country at peace. So, you know, once the United States sets its sights on you, you got to make sure that they don't get a country type Epstein. So Georgia did not implode. Georgia did not kill itself. We're going to have to keep an eye on Georgia because they could be the next Lebanon once the United States decides, right?
Exactly.
You get a Hillary Clinton with an eye on you.
Or Victoria Nuland with an eye on you. Exactly.
You better watch out. We've seen this before.
All right, coming up here, you remember those three young girls in the UK that were at a dance class? After school, they were at a dance class, and they were brutally stabbed. People and Britons took to the streets demanding a change to the illegal immigration that descended into that country. And then, of course, those people who were protesting were thrown behind bars and censored for calling out all of this mass illegal immigration in the country. Well, now we have a major update on that story we're going to bring to you in a second. But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at American Financing, because the economy is, of course, a major burden and a major issue in this upcoming election. Wages are flat, expenses are up. It's hard to pay your bills without grabbing for your credit cards. So if you're a homeowner, you can do what wealthy people do and leverage your assets through your home equity. Our friends over at American Financing can teach you this. With interest rates coming down, now is the time. They're in the low fives, depending on who you ask, and they're supposed to drop again in November. They can show you how to put your hard-earned equity to work and get you out of debt. Their salary-based mortgage consultants are saving their customers an average of $800 per month. And if you get started today, you may get out of your next two mortgage payments because you've restructured that debt, which would give you even more room and time for the holidays in your finances. So call them and say, I am ready to learn this. If it works for you, it does. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But at least you've learned a new trick, again, that wealthy people use all the time. So call them at 866-890-8434 or visit AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. One more time, you see it on your screen. AmericanFinancing.com.net, AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. Well, remember when the UK government arrested people for what they called far-right protests after the killing of three young girls, innocent young girls, in Southport? All three of these young girls were stabbed after a teenage boy decided to bring a knife and start stabbing at a Taylor Swift dance class this summer. Scared and frustrated, the British people took to the streets to protest open borders and liberal politicians who refused to keep them safe. Now, Prime Minister Keir Starmer, remember, he called these people extremists and racist. He said the problem was that there was a rot in the heart of the British people. The problem was them, not open borders or liberal governments.
A rot in the heart.
Who was talking?
What?
Did David just say something?
No, I just said, ooh, a rot in the heart. Yeah, that's the problem. It's a rot in the heart, not the wide open borders.
I could say that I'm pretty sure that a rot in the heart did not stab those three girls.
Right. Yeah, no, they didn't. Right. Yes. And in fact, because this boy ended up being born in the UK, his parents were immigrants, but he was not. What these protests wanted was a discussion about assimilation. Are we opening the borders too fast? People cannot assimilate. We have a culture in decline and in despair. That's what they wanted to talk about. But instead, Keir Starmer said, oh, no, you can't talk about these things. And in fact, he said he would keep courts open around the clock even to deal with protests. By the way, this gentleman staring down the policeman who's being arrested is my favorite. That's a pretty funny image, right?
That's a ballsy image right there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Now, people were arrested not only for taking to the streets, but even for their social media posts. The government said that this was anti-immigration, and the reaction was not only unreasonable, but it was illegal. But then today, the man who, he's 18 years old, so I'm going to call him a man, Axel Rudakubana, was charged with producing the poison called ricin and possessing a military study of Al-Qaeda training materials, and the government says he has ties to Al-Qaeda, or at least has been searching for it, and he's been charged with having a PDF document of a kind used by someone who is committing acts of terrorism, and so they're calling him actually connected to terrorism and using this in their charges. Of course, The person is not foreign born. He was born inside the United Kingdom. What they wanted, what these protesters wanted, was to talk about slowing down mass migration and possibly talking about assimilating cultures so that people don't feel motivated to go searching for Al-Qaeda training material. Again, we can hardly say his parents should have been banned from coming. They didn't do it, but would have slower migration than allowed for better assimilation and safer streets. British people can see that their government makes no effort to assimilate culture and protects migrants' rights over their own. That was one of the things that led Muslims and Christians to be protesting together. So the government owes these people an explanation. Why did they shut down this conversation? They didn't want to have it. Should have been their right to have it. Here is MP Robert Jenrick discussing this revelation and these charges and how this is a disservice to the British people who are owed an explanation.
As the dad of three daughters, the Southport attack hit me personally. Of course, the legal process needs to be respected, but I'm seriously concerned that the facts may have been withheld from the public here. The government and authorities told us for months that they were not treating this as a terrorist incident. But today, the attacker has been charged with terrorist offences, and it has been revealed that he has been allegedly reading terrorist manuals. This atrocity was of immense public concern. The public had the right to know the truth right away. Any suggestion of a cover-up will permanently damage trust in whether we are being told the truth about crime in our country. So Keir Starmer must urgently explain to the country what he knew about the Southport attack and when he learnt it. Across the board, the hard reality of mass migration is being covered up. The public can see with their own eyes that they are being gaslit by the liberal elite.
Now, a commenter in our chats, Mickey Trickster, says that these people were setting fire to things. They were rioting in dangerous ways. But some of them were arrested for social media posts, right, for asking if this had to do with terrorism. And in fact, it seems that the government was hoping that this would not get out. Guido Fox is a media outlet in the UK. They say that authorities kept them from publishing this news last week. So who's watching the media and trying to clamp down on this story? So does the government owe these protesters an apology? Can some people maybe get out for saying things or questioning things that were legitimate? An explanation? We didn't really see all of the social media posts that the government took action on, so we can't really know. But if somebody was saying that this could have been terrorism and was arrested for that, will they get out now? Or will the people of Britain get a real discussion about mass migration and unassimilated populations? Shouldn't they have done that to begin with? So let us know what you think of this in the chat. We have more news to get to. We're going to talk about the Daniel Penny trial, the person who put a homeless man in a stranglehold on the subway, and that person later died. Is this racially motivated? Is this something that will prompt more race riots a la George Floyd? We're going to talk to Lionel from Lionel Nation on YouTube coming up in just a second.
But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Beam, because if you're anything like me, it's a little hard to get to wind down after a long day. Natalie will say, she's like, come to bed. And I was always a night owl, so I'd be up working on my computer, doing other things like playing my guitar, just fooling around a little bit. I'm like, it's hard for me to wind down. And that's where Dream comes in, by Beam. It's an incredible sleep supplement that not only tastes delicious, but also help you get the rest you deserve. I'm talking about deep, restful sleep. It leaves you feeling refreshed when you wake up. No more groggy mornings or hitting the snooze button many, many times. If you're struggling to find restful sleep, like we all need, I can't recommend it enough. It's been a game changer. I truly believe it can help you too. Since taking Dream, you'll fall fast asleep. You're not going to be sitting there tossing and turning, thinking about the news, the crazy world that we're dealing with right now. Has no added sugar, just 15 calories per serving. It's like having a nice cup of tea before you go to bed. They even have amazing flavors like this: peanut butter, cinnamon cocoa. We should give this to our daughter. What do you think about that?
No. It's not. I don't know if it's meant for kids.
Well, we'll find out. We got to find out if this is okay for kids. Well, I'm sure it is. But cinnamon cocoa, pumpkin spice, apple cider donut, just to name a few. I want the apple cider donut one. Plus, Dream is made with high-quality ingredients that are all natural. Shop early access to Beam's biggest sale ever right now. Click the QR code right on the screen. You just scan the QR code. and use the code redacted for up to 50% off. This is a great Christmas gift as well. Might be a good stocking stuffer. ShopBeam's biggest sale right now. Get 50% off when you go to shopbeam.com/redacted and use the code redacted at checkout. A limited time only.
Well, this is a trial about race and class and an indictment about lawlessness in our society. The Daniel Penny trial is kicking off. He is a former Marine on trial in New York City for the death of a homeless man, Jordan Neely, who was known to subway riders as a Michael Jackson impersonator. Neely was placed, he placed, okay, let's get the characters right. Penny placed Neely in a chokehold while he was acting erratic and threatening fellow train riders. Neely later died, and now it's Penny that's on trial for manslaughter. Now, we've spoken about this trial before. Train riders did admit that Neely had yelled to passengers that he was tired and hungry and willing to go to jail. So was that threatening? Was Penny within his rights to subdue him? What is this trial really telling us? So we have a former litigator and legal expert, Lionel Nation, from the Lionel Nation YouTube channel to join us. Thank you for joining me, Lionel. Did I get all that right?
Sort of. Good. Okay. By the way, former prosecutor and current litigator, current licensed lawyer. But let's go this very, very quickly. He said someone is going to die today. As opposed to whatever. And I love this. Known as a former Michael Jackson. Nobody knew who the hell. They might have recognized him, but they're saying he killed a Michael Jackson's. It's just like when Trayvon Martin, remember that? They showed the picture of him in like kindergarten with a little mortarboard. Yeah. He killed a little kid. No, he's 30 years old today, but this was a picture then. So they're immediately making him out to be this wandering minstrel, this busker, you know, trying to ply his entertainment wares. And here he was.
Right. Let me beloved go back. New York City order. Subway icon is the story.
Yeah, sure. No, there's 50 million people on the F train alone. Before we forget or begin, and before I forget, the first thing I would do, and any lawyer should do, is file a motion in limine, which says, do not call this a choke hold. Choke is when you press upon the throat, the windpipe, and it stops breathing. As a certain person who was dispatched in a certain place, in a certain detention center, while he was awaiting trial, and they ruled it as a homicide. That was a choke, hyoid bone fracture, thyroid cartilage fracture. That's a choke. Carotid restraint is on the side where you are. It's the old sleeper. You're breathing fine. You don't die of asphyxia. You may die of brain damage later on. So we've got to, and people call it a chokehold. They've used this word, and it is the wrong term. He was not choked. By putting my arm around the sides of your neck, you are breathing. You're not doing that. So that being that, what happened was, Natalie, I'm sorry, I don't want to jump ahead, but this drives me crazy when I hear choke.
Let's pretend that you're his defense attorney and not the prosecutor for the city then. Okay, so that's one thing you would do. And then what are the other obvious bits of this case that you would be arguing if you were, and then we'll go to the other side and then you can play the prosecutor for the city.
Good. That's exactly the way to do it. The first thing was, is the law, there would be a jury instruction I would insist upon, and the judge would instruct, that you have the right for self-defense of yourself and others. When you see that there is some type of harm, the force that you exert has to be commensurate with the threat. I mean, if you pulled out a gun and shot him, you know, that's illegal for a number of reasons. But the question is, does he have the right to do this? Yes. Does he have the right to hold him while the police are coming? Yes. And one of the cases, one of the things I would like to say in closing argument, jumping ahead, is there were other people involved. They aided and abetted. If this is a crime, they were helping him. But Natalie, he is white.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the Michael Jackson, Mr. Neely, is black. And I'm sorry, but if it were the other way around, you know it and I know it. If this was his home, this former black Marine with, let's say, a white craze, whatever, nothing would have happened. Not only that, he would have had no bond. It would have been cash his bond. Goodbye. See you later. And that sort of thing. Here is the problem.
And how relevant is it that the condition of the subway is such that riders are regularly scared? We hear of lots of crime, stabbing, things like that on the subway. So riders are regularly on alert about crime because New York City is ridden with crime these days. Is that relevant?
There is not a human being who has never even been to New York who knows subways, Death Wish, Bronson, subways. Not only that, let's assume this was a little tram at Disney World. And if somebody says, okay, but on this little tram, this crazed degenerate came in and said, somebody's going to die today. So yes, the history of that, I think most New Yorkers know implicitly, but the particular statements of this man really put it into play. Now, here's the issue. Alvin Bragg, the same prosecutor who brought 34 counts of what we still don't know against President Trump, is basically looking at two things: manslaughter and this kind of like negligent homicide. And basically between two things, and we're not going to go into the specifics of it, the more serious, the 15-year version of this is that he knew the threat of what he was doing and he discarded it. Or in the negligent homicide, he didn't know what he was doing and it was an accident. Oops, versus recklessness. And what was that recklessness? You put your arms, your hands around it, and you put this person in a position, this carotid restraint. They're going to call it choke, and you should have known better. This, of course, is going to have all of the trappings of the Chauvin, the cop, and George Floyd, and all that other stuff. And they're going to take this video, and they're going to splice it apart and give it a kind of like a Zapruder look, you know, and they're going to make it sound like it was elongated. Because here's the issue, jumping ahead, his biggest hurdle. How long did you have this thing on you? How long did you have this carotid restraint on this person? If he's not moving and you've got people around you, was the threat perhaps removed? Could you have let go? And the million-dollar question is, assuming all of that, what was the cause of his death? Was it Daniel Penny, or was it some comorbidity, to use COVID language? Was it perhaps the K2 cannabinoids floating through his, and by the way, the tox screen was a little iffy.
And because we were not told George Floyd had incredible amounts of drugs in his blood. And so that was hidden from us at trial. So this is a familiar tactic.
Right, but did he die because of an overdose, or did he die because of this carotid restraint? And of course, you have the battle of the experts. There's so much reasonable down here. The biggest thing about this is that all of the jurors in this case are going to be Manhattan residents. I don't care who you are, by virtue of this particular venue, this is a state court case. It's not federal where they could be coming from, you know, Westchester or whatever. No, it's here. So they know. And when the witnesses testify, when other people testify, when they see the video itself, depending upon how much is allowed, what other people say, what Alvin Bragg is maybe hoping for is, I'll try two bites of the apple. I'll go for this 15-year maximum, which is probably not going to get, this manslaughter, and I'll go for this negligent, and they'll say we'll acquit him of the serious one. But the bottom line is, the issue is, depending upon how the jury instructions are going to work, is, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, there is reasonable doubt here. We don't have to prove anything. But if we show you that you have a doubt with which you can attach a reason to, do you have a doubt as to how unreasonable this was? Because for him to be found guilty, you have to show that he was unreasonable in jumping in, unreasonable in the particular force that he applied, unreasonable in the situation that he perceived, unreasonable based upon the totality of the circumstances. And other witnesses are going to say he was 100% reasonable. And also, thank God for this man. Thank God. If somebody says, somebody's going to die. Now, you can also, we have to bring in experts. Let's show what this is. And I would make that jury an expert in what a carotid restraint is. It's on UFC. And Joe Rogan does it. And Dana, and you see it all the time. And it's on TV. It's not a joke. Police are taught that. It's an effective means of quelling and minimizing the situation. What they should have done, jumping back to that case of Chauvin with George Floyd, I would have had witness after witness after witness saying that is precisely what you do. The knee on the throat may be problematic to you, but that's what we teach him. And he was merely, again, I'm jumping ahead. Once jurors say, you want them to say, I didn't know that. See, I'm just a regular guy who came in here and I thought they really, they didn't choke him? No. And if they really wanted to do it, and this would be the greatest, do a courtroom demonstration. Have the sleeper hold applied. You've seen it on TV a million times. It's nothing. It's kids do it. Which right. Then comes into the issue of medical examiners. Why did he die?
Okay, so then let's jump to this jury selection, because now his lawyers are arguing they want subway riders specifically on the jury. And the city is saying, well, no, subway riders, they need to work. They're low-income people, so we may not be able to get you that.
You know, that's right. Well, first of all, you can't ask for people. You go through the jury process. When you pick a jury, the voir dire, and New York is normally very, very boring the way you pick them, but you have two types of challenges, two different ways you can get people off the jury's net. One is a challenge for cause. You have unlimited numbers of those. And they have a good reason. For example, this is a relative of the defendant. This is a relative of the victim. This man is a convicted felon. This person, you know, that's for cause. And you can use as many of those challenges as you want. Then you have peremptory challenges, oftentimes mispronounced as preemptory. And peremptory is, this is where you have a certain number, 6, 3, depending upon the severity, the number of charges, and you can get rid of people for whatever you want. You don't have to give a reason, and you only have a certain number of those. Now, in this case, jury selection is important, but I am telling you one thing. I have never in my life ever seen a person able to predict what a juror is going to do once they hear the case. I have heard say, don't pick Black defendants if you're prosecuting, because Black people tend to, you know, die. Nonsense. Many respects, they know crime more than anybody else. If you have something that's really persnickety, like a DUI, pick a teacher, because teachers are into rules. Nonsense. Teachers probably drink more than anybody else. So whatever you think, a woman, a man, a teacher,
right.
it's whenever you are in that position, you find yourself also asking yourself, how do you fit in with the dynamic of other people? Because you can find yourself kind of arguing with them. Maybe there's a lunatic and you might vote one way or another to spy somebody else. So those dynamics, jury selection is wonderful. I love it, but don't put too much emphasis. People will just listen to common sense and just say, evidence didn't show it. I don't like the man. But understand what this is, though. This is the classic case of a kind of a social justice warrior. As a prosecutor, I would have said two things. I am going to decline prosecution. First of all, don't even show me who the victim is. I don't even know what it is. Just tell me what happens. Number one, did this Mr. Penny, did he have any intent of committing a crime? No. Did he go up and just molest or menace somebody? No. Like Neely did? No. Was he really trying to help people out? So there was no criminal intent, no recklessness, no nothing to help out. And not only that, we have something sometimes called Good Samaritan statutes, where in many jurisdictions, they will say, listen, if you, let's say, pull over, if there's an accident, and you try to render first aid, and let's say you're not really adept at this, and you kind of screw things up, we're going to kind of hold you harmless unless you're really reckless, because we want to encourage people to render aid. Mm-hmm. We don't want somebody to be driving. That's a Good Samaritan statute. So in that theory, as a prosecutor, I would say, number one, he didn't mean any harm. He didn't mean to, didn't mean to commit. Number two, we kind of want to encourage this. And number three, he probably saved a life by stopping this guy. When somebody comes in and says, and I forgot to tell you something. I forgot to tell you. Here's the best one. He has 40 arrests. This is the Neely, the stiff. 40 arrests under his belt. He was just released from Rikers Island. Get this. For punching this old woman, smashing her nose, shattering the orbit of her eye. This guy's got a reputation. This isn't some walk in the park. Now we get into the question of how relevant this is.
The question, though, the people say, well, you don't know in that moment about his priors. You don't know how. And so other witnesses on the train said, well, one thinks he may be armed. He was acting aggressively and threw his jacket. People say, well, you don't know how erratic that behavior will get in that moment. So you don't wait until a gun or a weapon appears, until assault appears, when someone has threatened. You take them at their word. Because most of us don't go around threatening strangers.
Well, exactly. Now, in the rules of evidence, you hope that somebody on the defense, on the prosecution, because they go first, talks about what a wonderful man Neely was. He was a good man. He was a guy who, you know, he was just. And what if somebody said, "Oh, really? Are you familiar with his reputation in the community for peacefulness?" Well, none of it. Would it surprise you if I told you that he had 40 arrests under his belt? That he was at Rikers Island? Well, I'm impeaching. Yes, because what I'm doing is I'm contradicting your testimony as to his peacefulness. So I'm hoping, normally you can't bring up the fact that the dead guy was a dirtbag, because as you said, nobody knew that. He didn't walk around with this rap sheet on him. But if somebody during the course of this provides some kind of, I don't know, some kind of testimony as to, you know, he was such a nice guy, then I'm going to say, oh, so are you familiar with his reputation in the community? Oh, yes. Good. Well, would it surprise you if, so now I'm impeaching, meaning I'm lessening, I'm attacking the credibility of the person. So this case, why Alvin Bragg is doing this. Just think about this. Former Marine. I mean, just the Good Samaritan. Days of the old notion of the vigilantes. You know, there's this Bernard Goetz. And in New York, I'm tired of the crime and people fighting back. This is the last case. Natalie, they could have told him, listen, would you enter a little program, something called, I don't know, anger class, and we'll drop it? Okay. But just give me something. So I don't want to try this. Do something. Oh, no. They wanted to make, because this is about a progressive, you know, we're going to get this guy, this white Marine, choking to death, this poor, you know, thriller, this man, this Jacko impersonator. Come on. This case is fantastic.
Yes. Well, but also I think it allows the rest of us to admit we are scared in these little cities. And that is a terrifying thing to admit. It impugns these places that have allowed crime to run rampant.
And Natalie, in Springfield, Ohio, they're eating cats and dogs. I don't care what anybody tells you. Springfield, Ohio, we got rain.
Yeah.
I mean, so I guarantee you, it may not be. New York may be per capita. There's 8 million people here. There might be less crime than in Davenport, Iowa, believe it or not. Because you hear about this, because every day there are days that go by with 8 million running around and nothing happens. The odds of that. So, yes, the perspective is, of course, that. But the idea of this man standing up and saying, I'm going to help these people out. I'm not out trying to rough somebody up. I wanted him to stop. And he wouldn't. And also, what about the other people who assisted him? If he's guilty, they're guilty. Anybody who aids aids, abets, counsels, procures, hires. This is the this is the accomplice statute. Why were they given a pass? Why?
So
I think we know why.
But in the wake of this incident, there were riots in the New York City. Well, I don't know if we call them riot protests in the New York City subway. People saying we've got another George Floyd on our hand. We're protesting racial injustice. And so now we have primed the city for another race riot.
Well, perhaps, maybe, kind of, sort of. But I think we're a little bit kind of rioted out because we went through all of this stuff with this Palestinian stuff. Well, we're tired of that. You know what I mean? But also, weird to say, but I don't feel it with him. George Floyd. Mama, I can't breathe. There it is. You know, yelling for his mother with this guy with the thing on his neck. It just... sometimes it's the optics, the symbology, the semiotics. I don't know what's, who knows? But this one, especially the people, unlike a lot of people could have said, you know, with George Floyd, look, you had him on the ground, handcuff him, and that's enough. Here you're going to have, that man is a hero. That man, were you afraid? You better believe I was afraid. Are you glad there was a Daniel Penny? Yes, I was. Thank you. Your witness. Next witness.
Yeah.
Were you on that train? Right. Yes, I was. And if it wasn't for that man, did you feel better? Did you feel relieved? Were you happy? That, because there's no police there. There's no cameras. There's no Ring camera. There's no help. This is one after another. That's the difference.
So in the event that this trial blows up in Alvin Bragg's face, does he face consequences?
No, because he shows they went to a grand jury. A grand jury said this. He's merely doing his there was probable cause. They had the chance. They went before the judge. The judge said this case is good enough. They go, no, he's not. But it just goes to show you. This might be, and I don't know when this is eventually going to go to trial. It's going to be after the election for sure. But you know, Natalie, there's a difference. There's a feeling in this country, obviously, on every level. And remember, this weekend here in New York at the Garden, you can't even imagine. They never showed you anything of what was happening. That was Woodstock. That was something I never saw or thought possible. That zeitgeist, I hate to use that word, but that kind of collective way of thinking will permeate and be felt long after the election. These people are here, and there are people who've had it. We have Tren de Aragua. We have these gangs. We have people. We have open-air prostitution. People are getting sick of this. And when it finally gets to trial, it might, listen, this thing may be disposed of, I hope, with a dismissal and maybe, you know, go away and in the interest of justice and that sort of thing.
Right. Well, it really is a shame of a story, but thank you for that context. Horrible. You can find more on Lionel Nation YouTube channel. It's always a pleasure to have you on Redacted. Good to see you, Lionel.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
All right, so let us know what you think of that story. And again, you can follow Lionel and Lionel Nation YouTube channel. And he's the one I go to when it's like, oh, what do I make sense of this legal filing when the Justice Department has clearly been radicalized in all sorts of ways, because that's the country we live in. We're going to get to your super chats in a second. So if you have something to say about the stories we've covered today, let me know. You can get those in early so that we make sure that we get to them at the end of the show, or you still have a few minutes to do so, and we'll respond if we can. We appreciate everything that you have to say. And also, you don't have to do a super chat for us to see your chat. We try and participate as much as we can while we're also concentrating on the show. But before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends over at Bioptimizers, because the clock is ticking on 2024, but it's never too late to revolutionize your health. Did you know that you can make positive changes faster than you might think, like better nutrition, showing results in just 1 to 2 weeks, consistent workouts, transforming your body in 8 to 12 weeks? weeks. Now, imagine amplifying all these benefits with just one powerhouse supplement. Enter Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. They are your secret weapon for unlocking peak performance. This groundbreaking formula harnesses seven forms of highly bioavailable magnesium, scientifically designed to elevate your sleep, support workout recovery, and boost muscle growth. So picture just drifting off to sleep effortlessly, waking up bursting with energy, watching your fitness goals materialize because you have easy recovery. With Magnesium Breakthrough, you're not just taking a supplement, you're upgrading your body's operating system. So don't let another year fade away. Seize control of your destiny with Magnesium Breakthrough. You can get 10% off if you use the code REDACTED by going to buyoptimizers.com/redacted. It's time to make these final days of 2024 legendary, and you're going to need your strength. You guys, it's a crazy time to be an American. So use the code REDACTED, get 10% off, buyoptimizers.com/redacted. All right, David, hit me with those super chats.
All right. So we got, I'm going to do the Rumble rants first. Yes. Since I can't put those on screen. From G Fontes 119, doesn't it make perfect sense that Putin and Russia would try to help President Trump? The left's creation of Adolf Hitler reincarnate, that's responsible for the death of millions of Russians in World War II. Okay.
I'm not sure I follow. That Putin would want Trump.
Yeah, it's basically saying that since the left painted, Trump as basically Adolf Hitler, it doesn't make sense that Russia would support him.
Because Russia, is the one who put down
because
the
Russia
Nazi
lost
party.
A lot of lives in World War II.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, good point.
Pardero, hello from Wyoming.
Hello.
And also from Pardero, Georgia runs cleaner elections than the USA.
Well, it would seem. I mean, as soon as the USA says we want in on it, then you know that they want not a fair election.
Yep. From BrewDog77, Georgia, not my pig, not my farm.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
At least not the one overseas. The Georgia in America, yeah, we need to be focusing on that one at this point.
From Vin Garoon, Biden was in Germany last week where he was awarded the country's highest honor. Just when you thought the humiliation and subjugation of Germany couldn't get any worse.
Oh, that must have been hard to watch. Right. I mean, he basically dragged them around from the back of a truck and, broken their economy. And then to watch that, I get it. That must have been infuriating.
And then two more from Padero. Help them where they live, not where we live. And then make vigilantism great again.
Oh, regarding the Daniel Penny trial. Yeah, we'll be watching that with great interest. And it is funny that Lionel had said that maybe we want to encourage vigilantism. I don't know how I think about that because that can go too far quite easily. You don't want anyone in hockey pads out there.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's not really vigilantism because it's not like he went, it's not like, Daniel Penny went and sought this guy out after the fact and like exacted justice upon him. He intervened in a potentially dangerous situation. And so he was acting more as a defender rather than vigilante, I would say. But
yeah, we want defenders.
Agreed.
Right. Not necessarily vigilantes. Good point.
And then G Fontes 119. How did Lionel get one of Clayton's shirts?
Costco. Clayton gets those at Costco.
Okay, so now the rest I'm just going to throw on screen for you to read.
Sure. Great. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to. Aaron Forsyth, $2. Thank you so much. Our taxes are paying for the government's privacy. Right. Certainly not our own. I'm with you on that. Thank you for that super chat. Just Plain Fed Up says, I'm so brokenhearted over the way the media is today. I'm just not sure they will allow a Trump win. It very much feels like that. And they're doing everything in their power to discourage you from voting for Trump for sure. Yes. Also, if Trump is permitted to win, the left will riot in a way we have never seen. They'll also make sure he's put in jail, then another revolution. That's what a lot of intelligence insiders have been saying that they're preparing for riots and some kind of disruption. And it does feel like the justice system is a backup, that if he wins, then they can proceed with the weaponization of the justice system. Absolutely, you're right. Yeah. Banana GT says the voting machines in Grand Rapids, Michigan were not working. They told us they were acting up. There was not auditors. They all seem pretty woke. And this happened Saturday. Thank you for sharing that experience. And I hope you go back. How many people won't, though? From M, please, please research and try to reach out to a man named Ron Unz. Literally an intellectual goldmine of research and information on topics discussed on this channel. Okay, this M likes to give me homework, but I've done it, so I'll put that down. Ron Unz. Will I get in trouble for Googling that? I can't see far and close at the same time, so. Okay. Oh, okay. I see what, okay. I'll look into it. I read you, Mrs. Esterhaus. Okay, Sailing Prepper Dark Secrets. I would love to hear you guys cover something about purchasing property outside of the U.S. We do have property outside of the U.S. I don't necessarily want to disclose where, but yes, we do that. That's all I'm going to say.
Do you have any information on that, on Morris Invest or whatever it is, on the...
No, Morris Invest is only domestic. We don't do anything like that. No. So, okay. Thank you, Kaylin Abbott, $2. I really appreciate it. From Andre, Coinmeister Cardinal, thank you for the $5.50 Canadian dollars. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Again, Sailing Dark Prepper. In the self-defense issue, the question is, who gets violent first is not self-defense. Unless they were the one saying crazy got violent first. Yeah, I suppose that's up to the defense, who became violent first. And the witnesses say he was throwing his coat at people and threatening that he was going to go to jail for hurting someone, which was implied. So who wants to wait there and decide who's going to get attacked by said person? So, yes. Kaylin Abbott, $5. Thank you. Please be aware that disease X is here. If your kids get sick and they can't figure it out, demand a chest X-ray because it's a mycoplasma pneumonia going around. Okay, that's great. We'll look out for that as flu season ramps up. $4.99 from Kia Speaks Truth. The Nevada Supreme Court has allowed for absentee ballots 4 days after the election with no postmarks on the envelope. What? Okay, that doesn't... We'll look into that. Holy crap. From Tyler, Rada DuPont says, please interview Dr. Jerome Corsi. He's part of a group known as God's Five Stones experts in investigating algorithmic voter discrepancy. More homework for Natalie. I will look into this, Dr. Jerome... What was it?
Oh.
Corsi.
Dr. Jerome Corsi.
Okay. All right. I will.
That's all of them.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us today. We will be back tomorrow. One more show until next week's election craziness. I probably will look like a troll doll because that's how I feel. I mean, it's not like, you know, I'm out doing anything. I'm just reporting this, reading books, talking to sources, but I feel crazed lately and just riled up. Completely wrong. So join me in trying to be sane. And then we will, you know, we'll be busy. We'll be here. So thanks for joining us. Okay. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Same time, same place. Thanks for joining us today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.